Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for the 29th of May. In the year of our Lord, 2023, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a Memorial Day, a happy Memorial Day to all of you from us at the Liberty Roundtable Live team. Remember the commitment of courage and sacrifice of those who gave their lives to secure liberty ought not be overlooked or forgotten. Sadly, honoring fallen heroes is not remembered these days. And if we don't teach it to the next generation, they'll forget altogether. May God continue to bless America on behalf of those who gave their lives for her. Please take time with family and friends on this Memorial Day to remember the reason for the season. Please reflect on the cost of freedom and our responsibility to defend and promote it. We talked with Dr. Scott Bradley last hour that we the people need to learn to reject slice-at-a-time communism, all communism for that matter, and we tied that to morality and religion, the two great supports, ladies and gentlemen. We need to realize that morality is vital. Morality is the key to the exercise. If we want to right the wrongs, if we want to restore the republic, it all comes down to morality and religion, the two great supports, as the great general and former president of the United States, General George Washington, highlighted. Lowell Nelson with me, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. A happy Memorial Day to you and your family, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's good to be with you again on this Memorial Day, so happy Memorial Day to you as well.
And we talked last hour a little bit about how when we treat war as a wonderful or positive thing and celebrate war heroes and everything, we miss the mark. We need to be grateful for their service, for sure. We need to be grateful for their sacrifice, no doubt. But we ought not promote the warrior. And sadly, in America, oftentimes, in our effort to show respect and reverence and appreciation for the service rendered, oftentimes we turn warriors into rock stars. We ought not do that. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in this Ukraine debacle for quite some time, folks, and it is a disaster of epic proportions. It reminds me of Vietnam. It reminds me of other wars that we never declared, but yet we've waged and been involved in. This one is a doozy, my fellow Americans. Ron Paul adeptly writes about the reality regarding this topic. Lowell?
He says President Biden's Ukraine debacle will go down in history, right along there with Afghanistan and Iraq, as one of the greatest foreign policy disasters in U.S. history. Quote, hundreds of thousands have been killed on both sides in the service of the U.S. neocons' longstanding desire to regime change Russia, end quote. Right? And Sam, the number of lives that have been lost or maimed is the very worst part. He mentions those hundreds of thousands of lives. But it has also cost us Americans $100 billion. Now, just recently, Sam, as you know, Russia took control of the strategic city of Bakhmut. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. In Donetsk, the eastern part of Ukraine. And then Biden last week authorized the use of F-16s in Ukraine. And so who knows what's going to happen next there. Those F-16 pilots might find themselves over Russian airspace. I mean, their range is, you know, from Kiev to Moscow. That's their range. So it's not out of the question. Well, I hope that they don't go there. I hope that they don't have to be used. I mean, but it's not looking good. So Ron Paul writes this. He says,
before
quote,
we go
one
on,
thing
the
is
point
sure,
Ron Paul's making was yeah. We're seeing a massive escalation in this war that's mm-hmm. never been declared and that the media is not telling you about. Lowell, that's the quintessential point here.
Yeah, good point. In fact, the media won't tell you that, you know, much about the the losses that Ukraine has incurred, but they are losing these battles, and the loss of the city of Bakhmut is just the most recent one that they've lost. Ron Paul says, we can count on Congress to throw good money after bad. After all, 20 years fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan got us the Taliban in Afghanistan with a cost of perhaps $3 trillion. But the military-industrial complex and the think tanks pushing war and the mainstream media glorifying war all got paid well, end of quote. And that's the story, Sam. The blood money goes to the profiteers in the military-industrial complex. But what Ron Paul writes next, Sam, here is both vital and encouraging. He says this, quote, it may seem bleak, but this is where we have something to be optimistic about. As I've always said, you don't need a majority to change the course of the country. A dedicated minority driven by the principles of liberty can produce incredible results, end quote. And Sam, isn't this what Sam Adams said a couple of centuries ago? He said, it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. A well-known quote by Sam Adams. What Dr. Paul is saying here is that he thinks the tide is turning in Congress, and that monetary and military support for Ukraine will soon evaporate. You know, and I hope he's right. Sometimes he's a bit optimistic, but I hope that he's right. He goes on here, quote, it seems likely that as the public mood in the U.S. turns against sending endless billions to a corrupt Ukraine with the threat of World War III in the mix, the political animals in D.C. will begin abandoning the sinking ship. With President Biden clearly flailing, and with the surprisingly strong primary challenge of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we should look for lawmakers to begin abandoning Project Ukraine in droves. That movement, he continues, led by principled conservatives and progressives, will sink forever the neocon Project Ukraine and thus save us from global nuclear annihilation. Hopefully, after this disaster, Americans will turn against neocons once and for all. End of quote. Boy, I sure hope he is right, Sam. What do you think?
I more than hope he's right. I think not only is he right in his hopes and in his desires, you could say he's a little bit Pollyanna, meaning he's, wants to just go ahead and take, get in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with him kind of thing. I get that. Because you've got to be positive and hopeful. And faith is based on that attitude and belief. So not only is he right from a hope point of view, whether we accomplish it or don't get the whole job done, but we partially accomplish it with his enthusiasm, I completely agree. And I will further say, in addition to that hope, faith, enthusiasm, he is highlighting the solution, though, as well. And this is important to understand. You know, whether we do it or not is another topic. But to have good, honest people stand in the gap and point out the solutions and truly double down in what works historically and morally, that is really the key to the exercise here. And especially on Memorial Day, it's a great time to talk about this. If we're going to reverence those who died and sacrificed for us, it's time to look forward to the future and say, hey, can we make decisions that make that sacrifice a little lighter? Can we embrace solutions that give us a greater chance for liberty in the future? I mean, that's really what he's talking about. So I agree with him on two fronts. One is optimism, but two, on the solution-oriented guidance provided. It's really pulling a page out of the Founding Fathers' playbook, sir.
I think you're right, Sam. I think he makes a good point also about the candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Kennedy Jr., Biden was just going to sail forward and be the nominee for the Democrat Party in for 24. And yet here comes Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with tremendous support. And he's going to give Biden a run for his money on that side. In fact, I've even seen some news articles talking about Biden's failing health. Well, they wouldn't be talking about it unless they wanted to get rid of him early. And so, I don't know, it's going to be very interesting, but I sure hope that he runs out of money. I hope the Congress won't give him any more money. suspending Ukraine, and I hope that they can wind down that conflict. I really do.
Amen. He says this. Biden's running out of Ukraine money. Good. That's Ron Paul. I say fantastic, great, marvelous. Let's make sure that he doesn't get another penny to violate the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. After all, Congress is to declare war or set forth marks and reprisals and everything else related to this. Let's not let the president run amok around the world, creating the principle called blowback, hatred around the world as we become the kingmaker, hegemonist nation that literally, you know, destroys and then nation builds. Let's not be those guys. Let's obey the checks and balances and have Congress. If Congress has the stomach to send us to war, they better have appropriate justification or receive the blowback from their constituents the way our founding fathers designed it. But ladies and gentlemen, the reality of going to these unjust, unconstitutional, immoral wars is upon us, sadly so. Brian, I don't know how you say his name. Reletic, I think is how you say it.
Reletic.
Reletic.
Yep, yeah. Reletic.
Brian Reletic writes a column that's kind of a companion column to the Ron Paul column, which highlights really the reality here on the ground. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Yeah, he really does.
With Lowell Nelson. When we come back, Lowell will break this article out for you. But he really highlights what repercussions are downstream from our thoughtless, immoral, unjust, godless, warlike actions. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and Sam Bushman on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable with Sam Bushman, your host. I am his guest this hour, Lowell Nelson. I want to highlight an article here written by Brian Berletic. First time I've ever read an article by him. He is a former U.S. Marine and geopolitical analyst. And the reason I found his column interesting is because it describes the destruction that occurs in the wake of U.S. interventionism. And as you know, the Campaign for Liberty, one of the five objectives of the Campaign for Liberty is non-interventionist foreign policy. So I really like the fact that he's talking about the consequences of U.S. interventionism, because if we talk about the evils of regime change activity enough, then perhaps we can, stand stronger against it, with our public servants. So Berletic says U.S. interventionist activity creates rifts and scars that take years, if not decades, to heal. Quote, there is also the economic desolation left behind, forcing a country to rebuild its economy often from the ground up. And in the case of the U.S. leaving the country after a lengthy military conflict, left behind is a landscape littered with unexploded ordnance that will take generations to clean up, maiming and killing innocent people until that point in the distant future is reached, end of quote. So really, folks, if we can better understand the devastating consequences of our actions overseas, we're talking dozens and dozens of countries, then I believe we would more strongly oppose our interventionist foreign policy. So as an example, Letick talks about Vietnam, poisoned and pulverized, he calls it. He says this, quote, from 1955 to 1975, that's 20 years, the U.S. was engaged in a brutal war in Southeast Asia's Vietnam. The U.S. entered the conflict alongside the French in one of many attempts last century to assist in the West, or to assist the West in reasserting its colonial rule around the globe after World War II. Throughout the fighting, the U.S. and its allies killed millions of Vietnamese and destroyed infrastructure in cities across the country. Through the use of the defoliant Agent Orange, the U.S. poisoned both the land and its people, killing those exposed to it then and leaving a trail of birth defects and cancer cutting through future generations of Vietnamese. The U.S. bombed Vietnam and its neighbors, Cambodia and Laos, more intensely than anything seen during World War II. Today, unexploded ordnance kill and maim people across these three countries every year. While the U.S. provides support for clearing unexploded ordnance, the assistance is token and conditional. At the rate U.S.-funded mine clearing and unexploded ordnance disarmament is being done, the problem will remain for many more generations to come. The irony is that after so much widespread destruction carried out by the U.S., Vietnam and its neighbors are rebuilding and advancing their nations forward mainly through cooperation with China, a nearby neighbor, end of quote. Now, I realize that was a long quote, Sam, but I wanted to give you and our listeners a pretty strong taste of what the U.S. foreign interventionist policy has done and continues to do, the devastating impact that it has on the people of these countries where we have occupied. And I'm here to tell you, I saw the effects of this destruction firsthand when I visited Cambodia in the spring of 1996. I saw a dirt poor country of young people struggling to rebuild their country because Pol Pot had killed off most all of the older generation, right? Got these 30 and 35-year-old young pups trying to rebuild a country. That's hard without institutional knowledge that comes with maturity and age, right? I saw little boys who wore vests, little girls who wore skirts. That's the only way you tell them apart, basically. Older children rummaging through garbage dumps in Phnom Penh looking for food and clothing, mainly for food. I saw older children sold into slavery for money so that the parents of those children could buy food to feed their younger children during the dry season. I mean, it was horrible, absolutely devastating to these children of God in this country of Cambodia. I saw it firsthand, folks. And so I am here to tell you that the impact of the U.S. military occupation of these countries is devastating to these people. Now, next, Berletic. So back to the column by Berletic. He describes the damage in Afghanistan. I guess I won't quote that. It's also long. But you can go to this article yourself.
Let me give you this, though, Lowell. He uses one line that I find incredible. There's one line here that I think, I don't want to say sums up, but really does highlight reality. He says this, U.S. interventionist activity creates rifts and scars that takes years, if not decades, to heal. there is also the economic desolation left behind, forcing a country to rebuild its economy, often from the ground up. That really highlights what happens. We only see it in limited slices when the media gives us a snapshot into things. But oftentimes that snapshot is manipulated and skewed to promote war. In the end of the day, when the eyes are off, the cameras are off and the eyes aren't focused, these people have a long haul rebuild that takes place. U.S. interventionist activity creates rifts and scars that takes years, if not generations or decades, to heal, is his point. And boy, howdy, does that sum up the column nicely.
It sure does, Sam. And then he asks an important question. He says, if the U.S. foreign policy is so hurtful, then why doesn't the international community oppose it? Well, he answers this question this way, quote, the U.S. and the collective West in general still possess a powerful grip on international institutions like the United Nations and control over the spread of information worldwide. This enables the U.S. to diminish the voices of reason, sounding the alarm of America's interventions today by reminding the world of the consequences of U.S. interventions in the past, end of quote. And
to prove this point, we have forced the world to use the dollar tied to oil. And that petrodollar is how we have maintained that grip. Countries can't openly oppose the United States or they get smashed. Okay, but what they're doing now is they're saying, look, let's find alternative ways to tie oil, the world's liquid gold, so to speak, to tie it to other currencies. It's their way of eventually severing that iron grip we have on the world. So that's under challenge right now. But I highlight that because I think that's the key to understanding why it is that America can remain so unopposed. Nations are getting sick of it, though. Nations are wanting to do something about it. They're starting to flex their muscles in protest, as always happens when tyranny reigns for too much or too long. Lol.
And as examples of that smashing down of countries that would get uppity with the U.S., all you have to go is look at Iraq. Saddam Hussein in Iraq got smashed. Muammar Gaddafi in Libya got smashed. And the list goes on and on, because the U.S. would not allow these countries to denominate their oil in anything but U.S. dollars. But as you said, Sam, that is beginning to change. The U.S. right now is just a big bully, and when are we going to repent? Well, we have to demand of our public servants in Congress the change that we want to see in the world. We have to demand it, folks. It's not going to happen.
So, and it starts with Americans. It starts with Americans not being a warlike people, but being a peace-loving people. That's where it starts, Lowell.
Yeah, it does. It starts in the home, at our mother's knee, right? What we learn in the home, we project outward to, you know, our community, our state, and our country. And, you know, if we grow up without mothers and fathers in the home, if we grow up with video games that glorify war and killing and maiming, then we're only going to continue down this horrible path that we're on. But if we will repent, if we'll call upon God and recognize that we need to discipline ourselves and to be kind to one another and to treat other people the way we would want to be treated with respect, then we can change this world. We can change our foreign interventionist policy to one of peace among allies, among neighbors, and be friendly with all nations, as George Washington encouraged us to do. Sam?
Quick pause, Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible commentary live on this special Memorial Day. It's about liberty, folks. God save our republic. Hang tight, more in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have about 2 days to gather enough House votes to pass the spending and debt ceiling bill the two agreed to over the weekend.
The agreement prevents the worst possible crisis, a default, for the first time in our nation's history.
The president pitched the deal at the White House, as did the House Speaker.
It has historic reductions in spending, consequential reforms that will lift people out of poverty into the workforce, rein in government overreach. There are no new taxes, no new government programs.
McCarthy's Democratic counterpart, Hakeem Jeffries, tells CBS he's ready to sell his caucus.
President Biden has delivered a result that prevents us from our economy crashing and stops the extreme MAGA Republicans from triggering a job-killing recession.
So is Arkansas Republican French Hill, also on CBS.
I feel confident that we'll have those votes after people review the text, talk with their colleagues.
While the bill raises the debt limit for 2 years, it also strengthens work requirements for federal public assistance programs and rescinds unused COVID-19 funding. The House vote is scheduled for Wednesday. Around the world, Japan's Nikkei stock index rose by more than 1% on news of the deal. The UK's FTSE's up by about 0.75%. The U.S. markets are closed for Memorial Day. The insurance company State Farm says it will no longer insure new homes and businesses in California. The reason? The record number of wildfires over the past 6 years and the risk of a lot more. Current customers of State Farm will get to keep their policies. Remember 2004, where the Boston Red Sox lost the first 3 games of the American League Championship Series, then won the next 4 on their way to the World Series? The NBA's Boston Celtics can repeat that history tonight. Down 0-3 to Miami, the Celtics have won the last 3. Game 7 is tonight in Boston. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, on this special Memorial Day. This is Liberty Roundtable. I am Lowell Nelson, Sam's guest this hour, and talking about another threat, you know, the biggest threat, really. This article by Jacob G. Hornberger, posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, right? Mainstream media will tell you and persuade you to believe that the biggest threat to our freedoms today lies outside the country. Lies with Russia or with China. Before they came along, of course, the biggest threat was terrorism. What about drug dealers or North Korea or the Vietnamese, the commies, the Reds, right? I mean, all of these foreign threats, that's what the media wants you to believe. That's what the regime wants you to believe. Then you use the media to promulgate this lie. Well, they always trot out this boogeyman to frighten us into compliance with their objectives. As John Adams said, quote, fear is the foundation of most governments, end of quote. Well, but Hornberger then makes this key observation. He says this, quote, no Russian and no Chinese has ever infringed upon my freedom. The same holds true for all the other things that scare liberals and conservatives to death, such as terrorists and communists and so forth. The same can't be said, of course, for the federal government. It not only has destroyed our freedom, it has also threatened our economic well-being with its out-of-control federal spending and debt, as well as its decades of monetary debauchery. Currently, it is getting us perilously close to life-destroying nuclear war, just as it did back in 1962, end of quote. Well, then Hornberger lists almost a dozen ways the federal government has destroyed our freedoms. I'm just going to list five. There are five that I want to highlight. You can visit RonPaulInstitute.org to read the rest. He says this, consider American socialism, which is best manifested by income taxation, Social Security, and Medicare. Operating through the coercive and terrifying apparatus of the IRS, the feds forcibly take money from young people in order to give it to seniors. They call it care and compassion. But freedom entails the right to keep everything you earn and decide for yourself what to do with it, with charity being totally voluntary. Consider the drug war. The feds punish people with criminal prosecution, incarceration, and fines for ingesting unapproved substances. Freedom, on the other hand, entails the right to ingest whatever you want to ingest, no matter how harmful. Consider America's system of paper money in the Federal Reserve. It has resulted in decades of monetary debauchery that tax people in a fraudulent, surreptitious way. Freedom entails the right to use whatever money you wish to use. The fourth point here, consider the Pentagon, the CIA, and the NSA. All three wield omnipotent powers, including torture, indefinite detention, mass secret surveillance, and assassination against both Americans and foreigners. No one living under a system of omnipotent government can ever be considered free. And the fifth point I wish to highlight, quote, consider the federal government's policy of deadly and destructive foreign interventionism. It has produced an endless supply of people who hate Americans, which the feds use as an excuse for destroying our freedom in the name of keeping us safe and secure. End of quote. Well, so Hornberger ends his article, which I think is a great article. I mean, the real threat, that's his whole point, the real threat comes from our own government, not from outside our country. And so he asks this question and he answers it. He says, quote, what do Russia and China and all those other scary creatures have to do with all of this? They provide a convenient way to divert the attention of the American people away from the real threat to their freedom and well-being. End of quote. Sam, your thoughts?
My thoughts are these articles, all three of them in a row, paint a reality picture that I think we really need to kind of understand this Memorial Day. Ron and Brian point out how evil war is. Hornberger points out, look, folks, you think that the threat is foreign, where all the wars are being waged and talked about and focused on and highlighted. There's plenty of destruction there. There's plenty of loss of life there, no question. It's immoral, it's unjust, it's pure evil. As we become a warlike people, we need to change that and repent this Memorial Day. But domestically speaking, while they point us to those foreign issues to distract us, they continue to slice at a time, promote communism, socialism, whatever fascism, whatever ism they want to, all roads lead to the same hell, which is tyranny. And these five points that you mentioned here are critical to understand. Look, consider America's system of paper money. All right. We've literally had monetary debauchery. It's moral hazard, as Ron Paul highlights often. Okay. That is the key. I mean, there's dishonesty when they create money out of thin air, and then when they charge interest on it. And as we contemplate the so-called win-win, the raise of the debt ceiling, it's a lose-lose. McCarthy and Biden are lying to you. They pitch this as the solution. It is a lie. We're just going further into the abyss. So war and filthy lucre, dishonest money, really are at the core of all of our transactions or interactions in some way or another. And so this incredible dovetailing of these two columns, one highlighting how evil the foreign distraction is, but then pointing out that the foreign distraction is used to get us to not focus on, okay, of the domestic issues, right? Think about Hornberger's question and answer. It highlights what I'm pointing out perfectly. He basically says, what do Russia and China, in other words, what do foreign wars have to do with all this? They provide a distraction from the real threat, which is our government literally internally declaring war on we the people. It is a distraction. It is sad. And folks, we cannot, as Joe Biden mocked, pick up a gun to win this. All that means is more war. Don't fall for that lie. What we can do, though, is use our greater numbers of Americans to turn to God and repent, to become a moral and a religious people. And through those efforts, God, family, and country, we can teach and educate and encourage those around us that there's not doom and gloom for America. There's a positive outlook because we know that Jesus Christ will return. We have hope and faith in Jesus Christ, and it's our job not to solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock today, not by any other means except to live personal, private, moral, religious lives, to teach our children to do the same. And then as families are strong in America, families are the fundamental unit of society, and our nation will mirror the family. So it's time to realize that, look, families are the key. What is most important? And it's God, family, and country. And those realities provide the solutions as well. Anyway, so those are my thoughts, Lowell.
Well, I love it, Sam, and you've really hit it on the head there. Reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the solution, Sam. You laid it out right there in our own families, in our own communities. That's where we need to begin this repentance process. We need to get it right. We need to love one another, love our God, and love one another. And then we can overcome the evil that seems to be flooding this planet.
So, others are highlighting the problem and pointing out incredible solutions as well, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. We are living in an empire of lies. That's the problem. He points out this problem, but focuses on solutions as well, Lowell.
That's right. We're talking about a book by Paul Craig Roberts entitled Empire of Lies. Now, Ron Paul used to say this all the time. He still does. The truth is treason in an empire of lies. And I think that's why Paul Craig Roberts took that. That's a great title for his book, Empire of Lies. I don't have a copy of it yet. I haven't read it yet, but I think it is really good. So the UNS review...
Hold on. Knowing
review
from the author, Paul Craig Roberts, who we've tracked for a long time, though, we know it'll be good, Lowell.
That's right. The UNS review published this review at lewrockwell.com, which is another of my favorite websites. Basically, the book is a collection of his essays, Paul Craig Roberts' latest essays. It's an assortment of essays. It covers a wide variety of topics, and it's not just about COVID. It's not just about the January 6th fraud. It's not just about the war in Ukraine. It's a bunch of great topics. Let me just highlight one of them from this review here. For example, in a chapter titled How We Know the So-Called Civil War Was Not About Slavery, Roberts disputes the widely held view that the war between the states was launched to free the slaves. Here is an excerpt from that book. Quote, 2 days before Lincoln's inauguration as the 16th president, Congress, consisting of only the northern states, passed overwhelmingly the Corwin Amendment that gave constitutional protection to slavery. Lincoln endorsed the amendment in his inaugural address, saying, I have no objection to it being made express and irrevocable.
The war, ladies and gentlemen, the so-called Civil War was a war of aggression. It was about states' rights. Let's talk about it with Lowell in seconds on your radio.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Are you not feeling yourself since getting the jab or the COVID? Are you feeling run down? Suffering from brain fog? having trouble staying motivated, or maybe you've packed on a few pounds since getting sick? You're not alone. Millions are suffering from vaccine injury or long-haul COVID issues. But there is great news. My friends over at Global Tech MD have the solutions. Their post-jab supplement package is a doctor-developed protocol to support optimal immune function and to help you start feeling yourself once again. It's time to take back your health. I trust my friends over at Global Tech MD, and you should too. Head on over to COVIDinjured.com and use the promo code THEBIGMIG to get 20% off of your first order of the COVID Health Bundle. Once again, head over to COVIDinjured.com. Use the promo code THEBIGMIG to get 20% off your first order. COVIDinjured.com.
This is Liberty Roundtable with Sam Bushman as your host. My name is Lowell Nelson. I'm his guest this hour. We were just talking about this book entitled Empire of Lies, a collection of essays written by Paul Craig Roberts, one of the great truth tellers of our day. And we were looking at just an excerpt from one of the chapters talking about the so-called Civil War, that it was not about slavery. That's not what it was fought over, but instead it was fought over the economic oppression of the North upon the South. The South couldn't brook that, and so the South, a number of the states in the South, withdrew from the Union, and Lincoln wouldn't have that. He didn't want them out of the Union, and so he, by the point of a gun, by the barrel of a gun, forced them back into the Union. He says, the real issue between the North and South could not be reconciled on the basis of accommodating slavery. The real issue was economics, as DiLorenzo, Charles Beard, and other historians have documented. The North offered to preserve slavery irrevocably, but the North did not offer to give up the high tariffs and economic policies that the South saw as inimical to its interests. That's all coming from Empire of Lies, page 221. Later in the text, Roberts lifts a quote from Lincoln's inaugural address, quote, I have no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists. I believe I have no lawful right to do so, and I have no inclination to do so, end of quote. That's right from Abraham Lincoln's inaugural address. Well, Sam, over the past few years, I have highlighted a number of columns written by Paul Craig Roberts, and I will continue to do so because he brings to light the false narratives of the deep state, the elite agendas that shape world events, and the lies of the regime and its corrupt allies. Roberts, by the way, is a former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury and a former Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal, credentials we might normally dismiss out of hand, but in his case, Roberts' case, he is amazing, and he is a truth teller. Sam?
Amen to that. By the way, the Empire of Lies highlights, in my opinion, those who are committing treason and the efforts they are engaged in documenting their treasonous attempts, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, treason of the United States is something really kind of important to understand. It's not... There's other words that can define going against your country. But treason is the one highlighted in the supreme law of our land for a reason, Lowell.
Quote, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, end of quote. And so I want to highlight the meaning of the United States in this clause, in this definition of treason. The United States here does not mean the general government. It doesn't mean the feds. It doesn't mean the collection. The federal government, the U.S. regime, basically. What it does mean is the several states. We can tell this by the wording of the definition of treason. It's war against them. It doesn't say war against it. It says war against them, meaning the several states. Well, warring against the several states or adhering to the enemies of the several states, that is what treason is. And so opposing the general government is not treason, as defined in our U.S. Constitution. Yeah, it might get you into trouble if you oppose the general government, but it's not treason. Fighting against the several states, which is what Lincoln did, by the way, that is treason. Sam?
In other words, the point is that Lincoln committed treason. And Biden today, yep, with his abuse of the states and many presidents before him, turning every crime into a federal crime, literally levying unconstitutional taxes. You can say, well, wait a minute, didn't they pass the 16th Amendment? Look, there's no authority for the federal government to go directly to the people for taxes, direct taxation. There's no authority for the government to give money to the states with strings attached. There's no authority for the government to literally take us off the constitutional currency, gold and silver. To do so is treason. Because again, the states are only to spend gold and silver coinage. That's it. Nothing else for the payments of debts. Well, the states can't do that because the feds have undermined, committed treason against the states in this regard. It's fundamentally the facts. It's impossible to argue your way out of this one. The states are to pay with gold and silver. They can't do that when the federal government creates a forced monetary system that undermines that very issue. So the creation of the Federal Reserve was treason, lol.
Well, not only that, Sam, but it was treasonous before that in the case of when legal tender laws created in the 1800s, right? And there was a Supreme Court case, Juilliard versus Greenman, that George Bancroft argued with the court, said the court should have struck this down, the Legal Tender Act, as being unconstitutional, but they didn't. And that was the first, I mean, that was a huge mistake by the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1800s by making greenbacks, you know, legal tender, because it destroyed a lawful and sound money, you know, gold and silver. So you're exactly right, Sam. It was treason against the states, and it's been going on for decades. We need to call a spade, and we need to start, you know, getting it right, Sam.
All right, final topic of the hour, thegatewaypundit.com with this piece, Lowell.
You know, last week I talked about the county of Arizona. We're going that day, going to receive an earth-shaking communication about elections. And so that's what this story is all about. Finally, Sam, I've been hoping, I've been praying that some state legislature somewhere would have the backbone to stand up and assert its sovereignty. Well, this happened in Arizona this year in the past couple of months. What happened was the Arizona legislature passed a bill that constrained the counties not to use election machines that contained parts manufactured in foreign countries, especially the foreign countries that were threatening to be our enemies, such as China, right? So basically all voting machines were outlawed by this bill. Well, the governor in Arizona vetoed the bill. And so the Arizona legislature asserted their authority, as they should have, by referring to the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, Paragraph 1, the quote, "The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof." All right? It says nothing about the governor, says nothing about the courts, says nothing about Congress, right? There it says, look, if you're going to hold elections for senators and representatives, the legislature in state shall prescribe the times, manners, and places and manner. And so the Senate in Arizona, led by the majority leader Borelli, Senator Borelli, issued, they passed a resolution, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1037, which sets official requirements for the use of electronic voting machines in the state and bans the use of those with foreign components. This is bombshell here, going off just last week, because the Senate passed, the House concurred, and they sent it directly to the Secretary of State, right? They bypassed the governor, because the governor cannot veto something which the Constitution, right, the states agreed in the Constitution that state legislatures are responsible for elections in their state, the elections of federal representatives and senators, right? Anybody in Congress, in the election of any congressman, that is the purview exclusively of the state legislatures, right? And so now, so we got this Senator Borelli, the majority leader in the Arizona Senate. He issued a press release last Monday morning, probably about the same time we were doing our show. And in it basically said that, you know, you can't use computers to conduct the federal elections because they contain foreign components. He says, and then he quotes, the press release then quotes Senator Borelli, says this, quote, "The federal government has made it very clear that election equipment is considered a target by those who want to threaten the safety and security of our country. We have long ignored this elephant in the room by allowing electronic voting systems made with parts produced in countries considered adversaries to the United States to be used as the primary method for conducting our elections. It is in our states and nation's best interest that we comply with implementation of security measures to protect our republic." End of quote. You know, that was all in the press release.
Amen. And it's important to note, even the federal government has highlighted these foreign interests tampering in our elections. Even the FBI and Justice Department and CIA and, you know, all these unconstitutional government agencies have admitted that, Lowell. So they're on solid ground there.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's what Patrick Byrne was in the White House talking to Donald Trump on December 18th about the election in 2019, whatever it was there, saying, look, you've got the NSA saying foreign meddling, and the NSA saying, and the FBI saying, I mean, all these foreign intelligence agencies were all saying the same thing. They're meddling with our elections. And so, yeah, and so the Senate there in Arizona is taking this seriously, and they then issued to every one of the 15 county supervisor chairman in Arizona last Monday a letter. And this letter was an update from the legislature just telling them, look, the we passed the bill, it got vetoed, and so we're now passing the resolution in which the governor cannot veto, because it's our purview, right? It's our, we have the plenary authority. Plenary, now that's a big word. It's not often used, but it, what it means is complete in all respects, unlimited or full, right? So the Senate and the House in Arizona, just like in every other state, has plenary authority for elections of the congressmen. That's what we're talking about here.
This is important for this resolution. I think it's great news, but I wish they had a veto-proof majority and they could shove it down the governor's throat, number one. And number two, I also want people to understand that hopefully Arizona can be a bellwether, and hopefully we in our states as the American people can push our legislative bodies to do the same thing. We've got to gain a foothold somewhere to stop these criminal elections via these machines. Everyone agrees that there's foreign interference in our elections. I think there's domestic interference as well. But it's fascinating to me how they play politics with this. And it's high time we, the people, demand we get to the bottom of it. And we need honesty in our money and honesty in our elections. The issue is honesty. And until we get that squared away, folks, it's going to be really hard to right the republic. But I have faith in Jesus Christ, and we're getting the people ready through education, through guidance and direction, and following God, family, and country. We're getting people ready to receive the Savior when he comes. That is our mission, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. And on the radio, following this announcement and press release, Senator Wendy Rogers was interviewed on KNST AM 790 on last Monday morning, and she named Dominion and ES&S specifically as equipment that could not be used because they contain foreign components. So, Sam, Arizona's standing up. Let's find some other states to stand up as well. I'm with
Amen.
You,
like George Washington, we lost a lot of battles, ladies and gentlemen, but we, if we're on God's side, will indeed win the war. The issue is agency, and we stand with God Almighty. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, thank you so much. The rest of you have a delightful Memorial Day. Please think about God, family, and country and solutions, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.